We're so glad you're back for another episode of the Anna and Susanna Show. We have a big favor to ask. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast through iTunes so you get a notification every time we post a new episode. Also, if you like hanging out with us as much as we like hanging out with you, please rate and review our podcast. This helps us tremendously and gives us the momentum we need to keep the show going for you. Now that we have that out of the way, buckle up, ladies. The show is coming up next.
Hey, baby, I know you've had a hard day. Packing lunches, folding laundry, getting the oil changed in the caravan. Or maybe you've spent 8 hours in the cubicle with that jerk boss looking over your shoulders. Settle down, pour a glass of red, kick your shoes off and forget about your cares, baby. It's time for the Anna and Susanna Show.
Hi, everybody. This is Anna, the founder of Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's.
And this is Susanna B. Lewis of Whoa Susanna. Welcome to the Anna and Susanna Show.
Today, we're going to talk about a little something called friendship. It's a heavy topic, actually.
It is heavy.
It is a heavy topic. I wanted to talk about friendship today, and I want to talk about relationships in general, because they are so important to us. Right. If you think about it, relationships might be the most important thing to us in our lives.
What else is there?
Really?
Food. Did you have a relationship with food?
That is true. Yeah. Food's one of my relatives. I'll tell you that. It's a beloved family member.
Getting hungry just thinking about it.
Yeah. So I want to talk about this because I think that relationships have been starting to get complicated in my life. I think they're complicated always. And of course we have our family relationships, we have our friendships. And so today I actually just want to talk about crappy friends and if they're worth it.
They're not.
No.
End credits.
Okay. Thanks everybody. Bye-bye. Bye.
No, don't do that. Somebody's really going to hang up.
When you were okay,
JK.
Think about how important relationships were when we were like in middle school. Well, all the way through elementary school, obviously. If you were bullied or excluded, I mean, just horrific to survive. But then think about high school. I remember in high school, if I didn't have plans or a friend didn't call me or friends hung out without me, I would slip into a depression. I would be in my room so sad. Listening to my Cranberries CD.
That was a good one. Everyone else is doing it. Why shouldn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. And then she's like, disappointment.
Yes.
Disappointment.
I loved it.
Yeah. That was a good song.
I would sing it with you, but I can't sing. It'd be a disappointment.
Well, I'm not singing good either, but it was like, I don't remember what she was so disappointed about in that song. But that's me crying in my room.
Disappointment. Because it lingered.
Disappointment. You know, got real wispy at the end.
Yeah, it's a great CD. I've got it still in my CD case.
It is, so you whip it out because it's
good. I'm going to. I'm making a note right now.
Yeah.
Cranberries. Yep.
So I would be super duper depressed and I would look back. And most of those friendships sucked.
Yeah.
They sucked. My best friend at the time was emotionally abusive. And I'm not even kidding. And I have this thing where I'm a really confident person. So I feel like, and thank God this never translated to men. This only translated to my female relationships. But I was so confident in who I was and the type of friend that I was, that I felt like if someone kind of had issues or I could handle it because I knew what they were doing and I could be above it and still be a good friend to them without realizing that they were a total shit friend to me. Sorry for the bad word. Maybe I'll cut that out. Without realizing they were a total crap friend to me and that I deserved better. Right?
Right. Right.
So I would put up with, and listen, I get a lot of slack for this because people are like, what are you saying? You shouldn't be friends with people without with mental illness. Absolutely not. I've got mental illness in my family. What I'm saying is that mental illness is not an excuse to abuse people. And you don't get abused by someone just because they have anxiety or depression or all of these other host of things. You have to put a boundary up. I mean, for heaven's sakes, you don't just sit there and take it, right? So she had had a tough childhood. I think she lost her brother at a young age, and her mom handled it very badly. And so she had a lot of intimacy issues with that. And so she, you know, that up and down where she would just all of a sudden be in a bad mood and slam the phone and hang up on me and not talk to me for like a month. You know what I mean? And I would just be so sad. Like, is she going to be friends with me? I put up with it. And I look back at those kinds of things, and I just want to rescue women from ever tolerating that kind of bullcrap. Now that I'm older, things are different. But I was younger. When you're younger, it's like your relationships are your everything, right?
Right.
Did you have a crappy friend in high school?
Well, you know what? I was a crappy friend.
Oh, no.
And not always. Let's not tarnish my reputation too bad.
No, that's okay. Let's hear it.
But I did have some moments where I can think of two girls especially, pretty badly. Now, I was bullied in middle school relentlessly by one girl, and it got really ugly. Now she sent me a friend request on Facebook, which I denied twice.
She's trying to sell you Lululemon or something.
I don't know what she's trying to sell me, but I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
I just remember the mud in my face on the playground. I'm not buying anything from her. So she treated me very badly. So I think I've been on both sides of it. Mm-hmm. I was bullied by her. But I can think of two girls in 7th and 8th grade that I treated really crappy for no reason. No real reason, except that sometimes they would just get on my nerves, and we were together a lot. And I think it was that thing of being around the same person too much.
Yeah.
But I did treat them badly. And after, we didn't hang out much in high school, probably because they were sick of me after middle school. But I did apologize to them later because I felt so convicted that I had really been ugly to them, and that's not how I was raised to be, and I knew how it felt to be treated badly, and yet I did it anyway.
Right.
So I was the crappy friend in that instance, and I did have another crappy friend. Let me tell you what she did to me one time.
Okay.
We were about 16. Yeah, we were 16. We had all just started driving, and she and her friend wasn't really my friend. We just kind of knew each other through her. She and her other friend said they were ready to go home, and I was in the back seat of her car. I was like, okay, well, just take me home. She said her stomach hurt or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So they took me and dropped me off at home, and I found out later that they didn't go home.
Oh, no.
They went out without me and did, you know, whatever 16-year-old girls do. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But that crushed me, and I continued to let that girl treat me like crap for years. And I remember anytime I would like call her out on things like that, you know, she would just lie. No, I didn't. Just she would just lie, and she wouldn't budge until I just finally said, okay, whatever. Okay. And we just didn't talk about it anymore. She lied to me about so many things. One night she pretended she had a phone call on her big flip phone.
Yeah.
Big Nokia. Pretended that her grandfather had fallen and was being rushed to the hospital. Took me home. I saw her dad at the supermarket the next day. Asked how his dad was doing. And he said, what are you talking about?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Psycho. And you know what her excuse was for that? Her dad was so upset he didn't want to talk about it.
Were you crushed when you found out that they dropped you off and then went and had fun? I mean,
that
is crush
worthy. And I had other friends that were so much better to me than her. It's kind of like, you know, you find that one person that treats you like crap and you're drawn to them to make them like you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You want to change them. You want to change them and change the way they treat you and make them feel bad for dropping you off because you're so much more fun than this other person is. And so you want to make them like you. But the bottom line is they're just crash. She's still crappy today.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not one of those things you outgrew where I felt convicted about it years later and apologized. She's never apologized to me for anything. And she's still that way. I know she is. So.
You know, yeah. I've been the crappy friend too, and it's so important to say that I think we've all been on both sides at some point.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's ever been necessarily perfect. And for me, what I would do is I would just drop somebody. I would just disappear all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And it was usually because I got more exciting, more popular friends or something horrible and stupid. And it's so I just reunited with a good friend of mine. We were really, really close when we were little girls, and she just moved back to Nebraska, and we've started to hang out. One of the sweetest, kindest, most generous women on the planet. And I kind of forget why we had a falling out. I remember she changed high schools, and then I changed high schools, and then I thought that that was why we had distanced ourselves. And then she was like, no, you just, and this is her being sweet, not calling me a crappy friend to my face, but she was like, nope, you just pretty much got some different friends and dropped me. No, she actually, I don't even think she said that. I think she just said, you just kind of went away, you know, and I knew instantly what that meant. And, you know, heartbreaking. I think we've all been on the other side of that. And I know I've been, I can absolutely be a crappy friend now, but excuse me. I think that what's so difficult about friendships, and especially being a woman, is the cliques that we form and how we almost get a rush out of excluding people, because that means that means you are included, you know?
Yeah.
We may not even dislike the person who's getting excluded, but that means, okay, well, we're in. And this can happen with women who are in their 50s.
It can. Yes.
It's honestly really crazy how that kind of, that stuff goes on. And I have felt super lonely in my adult years. When I left California, I left a really good tribe of friends and people that I love dearly. And when I came back to Nebraska, I had basically only my best friend that I've always had for a long time was here. And the thing about my best friend is that she's been my best friend for a really long time, but we're kind of like family at this point, where we've always been at different life stages and may not be spending tons of time with each other, but it's like your cousin is always going to be your cousin. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's kind of what our friendship is like. And I remember I'd be like, hey, you know, I'm back in town now. I was married to Rob, but I didn't have any kids. And she would go out all the time posting so many pictures of herself. And I'd be like, hey, just wanted to let you know that I'm not doing anything tonight, you know? And she'd always be like, oh my gosh, I forgot. And she would just continue. She'd be like, oh, we just all went after work. And so it was just kind of a work thing. So I didn't even think about it, you know, crap like that. And so, you know, you get lonely not having your girlfriends. How are you with friends? Do you have, like, I never really heard you mention necessarily a best friend, but I definitely know that you've got a group of women that you're close to.
I do. I have several. I'm blessed with several different groups of about 5 to 10 women in each different group. And, you know, we all kind of hang out separately. I have, you know, my Bible group friends, and then I have my mom friends who live here in my town.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do still communicate with two or three of my childhood friends. One of my best friends growing up, like you said about life stages, we're kind of just in different places, but we still, you know, kind of pick up where we left off when we do see each other, but we're not as close as we used to be. So I am blessed with good groups of friends, but since, and I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm Jennifer Aniston or something, since I'm so famous now, but 'cause I'm not, but, I have noticed since people locally know who I am, that I will have people reach out to me and want to be friends with me. But I don't think it's for, how do you word this politely? I don't think they genuinely want to be my friend. I think they either want me to sell something for them.
Yeah.
Or use me for something, have me advertise something for them, or do what can I do for them?
Mm-hmm.
Is what it is, you know. And so I can kind of pick up on that. You know, if you want to be my friend, you shouldn't ask me if I would like to try Norwex.
Yeah.
In the first sentence. Nothing's wrong with Norwex. I use it. It's great. But I'm just saying, you know, you can kind of pick out who likes you for you. You know what I'm saying?
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because when I announced that I got an agent, I got 3 text messages from people I barely talked to wanting to know if we could get lunch. Yep. And they were like, I miss you so much. I was like, you don't even know me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird? But then, so then you have people coming towards you, but then my very closest friends were kind of quiet. Maybe yep. threw a like on it. Have you noticed that yep. some of your friends have actually retreated from you the more popular yes. that you've gotten?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had conversations with one of my good friends about that. And there was really no resolution to that. I don't want to say a jealousy thing. I don't want to say that my friend was jealous of me, because that would be, oh, you're just jealous. I would never say that. But yeah. it was just odd that I was doing a lot of things and she was just not as supportive as I had hoped she would be.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. or I had thought she would be. You know, you expect different responses from people. And when I thought about her and her response to things, you know, I thought she would just be over the moon ecstatic, like, you know, the friends on Sex and the City or something. And she could care less. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, that's great. Well,
yeah,
I gotta go. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And that it was kind of like my friend dropping me off at home and then going out without me. It's
right.
it's hurts your feelings.
Right. You know, it kind of reminds me of Anne Lamott's book, Bird by Bird, brilliant book, in her section on jealousy,
yeah.
where she is broke. She cannot get a book deal. She's a single mother. And one of her friends gets a huge book deal with a huge book advance. And because yeah. Anne is this Christian woman and all that, she feels like, out of all my friends are so jealous, but Anne, I knew I could just talk to you because you'd be so supportive. And Anne yeah. said that she'd be like, she would spelled great, GRIGT, where it's like, isn't that great? Isn't that great? Sometimes, depending on where we are in our life and how we are feeling emotionally and where we are in our spiritual journey and our growth and all of that, it is too difficult to be friends with somebody.
Yes.
And at the front, and that'll happen to us, and we will do it to other people. And it's not a malicious thing, and it could very well be jealousy. But I have noticed in my life, because there have been people in my life where just being around them makes me feel bad about myself, and it's not their fault. Mm-hmm. It's my fault. It's something I have to work on for myself. And mm-hmm. I have noticed the same thing with some of my friends, where I'm just like, gosh, does being around me make you hate yourself or something? Because you're mad at me for literally no reason. And if you can't put your finger on it, then it's because I just give you a bad feeling. And if you need to work that out, then go ahead and work that out. And I think that happens sometimes. And that usually happens when somebody's moving along in their purpose and their journey in life, and you're kind of stuck in a certain spot. And sometimes that's okay. And that's inspiring. And it just sort of mm-hmm. depends, I suppose, on the relationship. But I mean, go ahead.
One of my good friends from high school, and she's moved away now, but she came home for a visit a few months ago. Well, it was after my mother passed away, and she had just had a baby, and she had come home, and this was after I'd had another where I thought I was pregnant and I wasn't. And she had just come home and she had her baby, and she wanted me to meet her baby and go out to lunch with her and her mother. And I love her mother. She's sweet as she can be. But I was at a point where I was grieving my mama so badly,
mm-hmm.
and I was grieving the pregnancy scare, which it was a negative. I was for sure I was pregnant. And I could not be around her for lunch that day. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be around the mother-daughter dynamic between her and her mother. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't be around her newborn baby. And so, you know, I sat around and I talked to one of my good friends who I consider a mentor. And I told her what I just said. And I said, you know, I just can't go. I should just make up something, say I'm not feeling well. And she said, no, if you are have been friends for this long, just tell her. Tell her you can't come for that reason. And so I did. And I called her and I told her, and she was absolutely supportive of it, and not in a, you know, where I could tell she was really holding a grudge. She wasn't. She understood. And she said, I understand. That's fine. I'll just see you next time when I come. So I think it's like you just said, sometimes you just cannot be around, and it's not their fault. It's just where you are emotionally. You cannot do it, and you have to recognize that sometimes it's okay to do what's good for you. That's not being selfish.
Right. Exactly.
You just have to do what's right for you. And if you have a good friend like I have in her, then they'll understand. And if they don't understand and they give you some grief for it, then they're probably not as good a friend as you thought they were.
And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just say that?
Yeah.
And that's what Anne Lamott ended up saying to this woman. She ended up saying, you know, after you know, weeks of, isn't that great? Hearing mm-hmm. how much money, she's like, oh, the Lord has just blessed me with so much money. And yeah. she's, you know, isn't that great? She just finally said, I just can't be friends with you right now. It's just too difficult. And I, you know, if only we could say that instead of just mm-hmm. being mean, cutting mm-hmm. them off, unfollowing them, unfriending them. You know, wouldn't things be so much better? It's
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I've had some real doozies friendship wise. And it's one of those things that has happened to me in my adult life. That was a pinnacle moment that told me, and I'm so grateful that it happened, because I knew from that moment on how to detect someone who's trying to tear you down and how to never engage in it ever again. So one thing that happened was that I was working with a particular person on a project, and we had multiple mutual friends. So that is what has, and they were all in the professional sphere. So that amplifies the drama when everybody knows who you are.
Yeah.
And I don't quite know what's wrong with her. I think she suffers from some anxiety and some depression and stuff like that. But she was probably one of the most emotionally manipulative people I had ever worked with in my life. And I can't share the stories because it's going to call out who I'm talking about. If I told you them, your jaw would drop. Like what I put up with. And I put up with it because I didn't trust in myself enough. I thought that I needed her to mm-hmm. get to the next level. Mm-hmm. So I took it because I was like, if I lose her and her influence, then I'll never make it to the next level. So I just need to take it, rise above it. And a whole year went. And what was really difficult is that everybody loved her because she never revealed this side to anybody else. It's like the abusive husband. You have an abusive husband and everybody just loves him. And they're just like, oh, I'm so jealous of you. You've got a winner and you're getting beat when you get home.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it was almost like that, right? And so another woman noticed and had kind of witnessed an interaction that was bizarre. And she came up to me, and I had kind of known her, and she just said, you know, I've been in a situation like this before. If you ever need somebody to talk to, you know, please do. And I go, you know, it's awkward to talk because there's no one to talk to because everybody knows her, and it'll be basically me talking crap about her. So I just keep it to myself. She goes, well, I don't know her. So if you ever need to chat, please just do. So one day I took her up on it and I cried, and she was so amazing and supportive and wonderful. And we developed a really, really wonderful close relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, a few weird things started to happen. And because of that previous friendship, I knew I needed to kind of stick up for myself a little bit better. And so I kind of remember, and I didn't call her out, but I just said, hey, I kind of noticed you did this, like, you know, did you mean anything by that? You know, because I like to keep short accounts. Okay, mm-hmm. That's a biblical thing, is to keep short accounts. Some people don't like when you keep short accounts because they think that you're criticizing them or that you're a pain in the ass or you're high maintenance, right? Yeah. And I think that that's sort of how she perceived me on a couple of occasions. And it ended amicably, but we both just sort of drifted apart. Then, right when we drifted apart, guess who became best friends? Those two. Susanna, literally, and they're best friends now. I just saw on someone's thread, they're in a picture together, and the comment is something about how they're best friends. A best friendship has literally happened between two people's distaste and dislike for me. And by the way, this other new friend, this is the part I mentioned. The new friend who, well, the friend who was like, you can always come and talk to me. She was the one who guided me in ending the friendship with the first one in a professional way. Because she had experienced, not like, here's how you end a friendship. I know how to end a friendship, but how to do it in a professional way. She had guided me, and she was like, Anna, you've got to do it. Pull the trigger. This is enough. You've taken enough from her. Just end it now. You'll be fine. And so I remember writing an email, and I'm like, well, do you think that this email is okay? And she's like, it's a little wordy. Keep it short and precise. You know, really guide. She was kind of a business mentor to me, right?
Right.
And this person who guided me and pushed me into ending the friendship with her and is like, something is seriously wrong with her. You cannot be dragged down. Then became they still are to this day. So here's oh, go ahead.
No, it just reminds me of Portia and Kenya on The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
I don't watch that show, but is something similar going on there?
That's what happened. Was one of the ladies you're referring to named Kenya?
Maybe, yeah.
Just
maybe
blink,
it's me.
Blink twice. Well, I can't see you, so that wouldn't work. That's the now. Let me ask you this: do you think that the friend that you had the issue with first treats this other one the way that she treated you?
I don't know. There might be something. Eventually, she'll have to. Your true colors will always come out.
That's right? What I was going to say. Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think this I don't know. It's hard to say because she didn't treat other people like the way she treated me. There was almost something about me, and I would hate to say with how confident and kind of a strong person I like to think I am, that there's something about me where people make me their battering ram. But I think there was something about me that made her feel bad about herself. So she treated me, so she would be emotional and weird around me. I don't think that this new friend makes her feel bad about herself. So I think she treats her like gold. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that that was devastating. Oh, yeah. I cried some tears over that one. And you know what the cliche is that really lifted me up out of that is it's like birds of a feather flock together, right? Mm-hmm. Eagles soar, chickens are chickens, and it's almost like how could they bond and relate? And it's because they are the same type of person who have the same type of needs and are dysfunctional in the same way. And so they are interlocking with each other and meeting each other's needs.
Right.
Now, it's easy for me to say and act like I didn't have a role in any of this. I'm sure I did wrong, too. And it's like, you know, like they're crazy. I'm better than them. There are situations where I assure you, I'm sure the situation was reversed and I was the chicken. Okay, for sure. But in this particular situation, I realized a couple of things. One is, I stayed in that friendship or that working relationship because I thought without it, I would never make it. That is a lie.
You will
always make it, and you never need an abusive, controlling, or manipulative person in your life to get anywhere in life, period. I don't care if they're the gatekeeper. God makes other gates. Okay?
That's pulpit talk. You preaching now. Get you a handkerchief.
Yeah. So that is, so, you know, don't ever feel that way. And that was one of the best lessons that I learned. And then the other one is like, wow, gosh, you guys go ahead and have each other. I've got a lot of cooler, better things going on.
That's right.
When I didn't have those friendships, I actually had a ton of free time because the other friend and I, we would always message each other all of the time and, you know, watch House Hunters together while we're kind of making fun of it. Now I don't got to, you know, I was like, you know what? So when that left me and I had more free time, I was able to work on my gifts and on my craft. And that's one of the main things that I want to encourage people, is that if you feel like, and it's so weird to talk about this about grown women, but it happens. It happens in the PTA meetings. It happens in Facebook groups, where all of a sudden you're losing your friendships. You're losing all the people that you're with, and you've got this free time, and you've got your husband. And it's not as devastating because most of us have our families, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it still kind of hurts and it pings. I feel in my heart that in times where we are isolated, or when there are moments in our lives where we feel alone or we are feeling isolated, that is when we are supposed to spend time with ourselves. And that is when we are supposed to be working on our craft, practicing, writing, painting, studying, whatever it is we need to do to serve other people.
That's right.
I feel really convinced about that.
That's great stuff. I agree.
Yeah. Have you had any betrayals in your adult life?
Oh, gosh. You know, I've really been blessed over the last few years to have really good friends. And good. I've seen a lot of betrayals between others, and I try to stay out of it because I do not want to get involved. Mm-hmm. I do not want to get involved. I can see how ugly and catty it can get. Mm-hmm. But over the last few years, no, I really do. God has really blessed me with some certain people he brought into my life, especially after my mama passed away, that I believe without doubt he placed in my life for that reason. Mm-hmm. I've made friends with other motherless daughters that I didn't know before my mother passed away, and we're really good friends and share that common bond. So I have really good friends now. Have I been betrayed in the past? Oh yeah. And it's just a horrible feeling. It's like when your boyfriend cheats on you, pretty much, you know. It's that same kind of, you don't feel, what did I do wrong? You feel rejected. You feel you've done, you know, that you deserve it possibly. And it's just so emotionally draining. Isn't it so? Oh, who has time for that?
I agree.
And, you know, I'm not trying to be funny, but really these Real Housewives shows, I know a lot of it is staged for television, but how exhausting to live that way and have, you know, your friends bickering back and forth and, you know, fighting over each other's husbands and punching each other at dinner and talking about it. And the thing about those shows is, you know, they're going to air. So whatever you say, they're going to know you said it. How are you going to deny it? You know,
it's almost like that's how they stay on the show almost.
It is.
Yeah. But I see what you're saying, where it's so emotionally exhausting and all the yelling.
But I have known groups. I have had friends who actually live that way. Grown 32, 35 year old women who are constantly into it with another woman. Who has time for that when you should be focusing your time on your family, your children, your faith, your craft? Like you just said, who has time for that? Just say bye, Felicia, and be done with it.
Exactly.
I don't have time.
What about, this is something that's kind of happened to me over the past 4 or 5 years, and that is finding time for the, what if you don't have time for new friends? And I'm going to try to say this as vaguely as possible. I always think nobody listens to the podcast, and then I find out everybody does, and then I'm like, oh God, what did I say?
So Elton John listens to it, and you said he was going to die soon.
I know. You guys, I'm knocking on wood, but you know, mark my words. So, okay. So I've had some people that I have met who want to spend time with me. They're really funny, engaging, cool people. But right now I'm failing my own relationships, including my husband, in terms of time and investment. So even my closest friends, my best friend and I haven't gotten into a fight, but we've both been like, what the heck? We both ended up admitting we have hurt feelings over the other one, not really talking to the other person. And it's been so long since we've been able to hang out, and we both have our excuses and kind of finger pointed and went around and around. But at the end of the day, we both just kind of messed up and didn't make each other a priority. So I'm already struggling with my own personal friendships on being able to give them time, right? And then there are new people who are super cool, who want to spend time. and that realization that I just can't fit you in. And is there a way that you can say that to somebody without being a total a-hole or feeling like one or sounding like one? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I'm going through that myself at right now. No, there's not. And I find myself that I make so many excuses because I just don't want to say I don't have time
we
right now.
We talked about this the last episode, that if you and I could just say no and shut the door, we'd save everybody a ton of heartache.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because they can see through that. They can see through you're making excuses. And that's worse. I do have a friend who's in our Bible study. And she hasn't been to several Bible studies, but she doesn't make excuses for it. And I admire that about her so much. She says flat out, you know what? We've had a busy week all week with sports and church and this and this. I just can't come tonight. I'm going to stay home with my family.
Yeah.
And nobody hates her for that. Mm-hmm. Everybody says, I understand. And that sounds so much better than, you know, oh, I'm sorry. I've got the runs and 103 fever and, you know, the house burnt down, you know, the crap we come up with. But I find myself, I wish I could be more like that. I do find myself making excuses because I just don't have the time to invest in my friendships as often.
Yeah. And it seems so dramatic. And a lot of people will be like, oh, you can't make time for a lunch. And it's like, theoretically, I could make time for a lunch. Mm-hmm. But with my small children, my husband, with me writing a book, recording podcasts, doing all of these other things, it would be too much of a sacrifice. And I do think I did the same thing. I came up with a bunch of weird excuses of just how busy I was. And then, you know, you just hope that they get the hint, and then sometimes they don't. And so then, sometimes they believe you're bull crap and that's your own fault. And so, you know, I think it is okay to say, I am at my limit with relationships, and I think you're cool and so funny and or this and that, but I just don't have room and I will disappoint you. So thank you so much, but I just can't. And it seems so dramatic and weird, but if you don't, you could really end up hurting somebody's feelings.
I ain't got time to be your friend.
See, doesn't it sound hilarious just to say that?
Yeah.
But I have to. Are you going to go to lunch? I mean, you're not going to go to lunch, so what you going to say?
I ain't got time to be your friend.
Just leave it at that.
Then make sure you add the winking emoji so they'll think you're kidding, but you're really not kidding. The passive aggressive emoji.
See, that's how me and you screw these things up, because we chicken out at the end with an emoji that leaves the door open.
I'm nice to a fault. I do not want to hurt anyone's feelings ever. I don't like confrontation. I don't like hurting people's feelings. And so I really struggle with just saying, I'm sorry, I don't want to be your friend. I don't have time to be your friend. I'm going to go stand in the bathroom mirror tonight and just say it 20 times. I don't have time to be your friend until I can. Do you have, this is kind of on a related note, have you ever had a friend who would not leave you alone?
Yes. And
isn't it exhausting?
I will give you an example when we get back from this commercial break. Guys, I'm a different woman. You know my story. Work from a home mom, 2 under 2, total chaos. And if you've been listening for a while, you also know I love cooking. But now, with all my babies and deadlines and nonsense, I can barely even go grocery shopping anymore, let alone plan out recipes. I just end up cooking the same things over and over because I'm too swamped. Until I tried HelloFresh, which should also be called Hello Amazing, because that's exactly what it is. HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and so, so, so convenient. I'm not sure what's easier than a box being delivered to your door filled with delicious meal kits, along with a step-by-step recipe. Here, let me think about that for a second. No, there's nothing easier, okay? Each meal kit is designed around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks short on time to be able to nail a delicious meal every single time. The ingredients are fresh and measured to exact quantities, so there is no waste. I can't even tell you how much food I waste. I overbuy for our meals all the time, and in a few days the leftovers just get dumped in the trash. What's better, and this is obvious when you see your meal kit, HelloFresh employs a full-time registered dietitian who reviews each one to make sure it's nutritionally balanced, all delivered to your doorstep in an insulated box. Here's how it saved my day. I was on a Christmas baking marathon. I was whipping up cookies and breads for presents and deliveries, and I noticed my husband was going to be home soon. I was just about to text him to let him know he was on his own for dinner. And then just then, the doorbell rang and HelloFresh arrived. I was sort of giddy, I'm not going to lie to you. It was like manna from heaven. I was overwhelmed, stressed, and here's this amazing box filled with meals at my door. I was jazzed. First, I grabbed a bottle of wine. I don't know, there was just something about the occasion that warranted it, okay? I opened it up, and I pulled out the Drizzly Balsamic Fig Chicken Meal, and there you could see every ingredient to make the perfect dinner for two. The perfect amount of garlic and shallot and chicken, a perfectly sized jar of fig jam. I just followed the directions step by step, and in 30 minutes, I had a really fancy and delicious dinner on the table. I mean, come on, people. It's ridiculous. I can't recommend HelloFresh enough. I really can't. And guess what? We have a special offer just for you. For $35 off your first week of deliveries, just visit HelloFresh.com and enter AS Show when you subscribe. That's A for Anna, S as in Susanna. That's AS Show for $35 off your first week of deliveries. Seriously, do it. It's a life changer. Okay, so the friend who doesn't leave you alone. So you're talking about someone who just keeps calling you and wants to hang out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Calls. Well, not calls anymore. Texts.
Yes.
Facebook messages, Instagram, tweets.
See, I'm a real low maintenance friend. Like, I'll just take, if we check in with each other with a text message or a message or something like that, I'm good. We don't have to actually go out and get lunch.
Me either.
Yeah, I'm good with just checking in. When people want to really actually go somewhere and it's relentless, that's when you're just full of excuses and you just feel like at some point they're going to take the hint. It seriously is like dating men, isn't it? Where you just keep making excuses, but the guy likes you so much that he just isn't taking it and he refuses to believe what you're saying. So finally you have to be like, I don't like you that way. I just don't like you that way.
I ain't got time to be your friend.
I ain't got time to be your friend. I got to record a podcast in 10 minutes.
Oh, gosh. I had a guy that used to call me. I'm serious. It was borderline. If he wasn't such a gentle nerd, you would think he was stalking. He would call me all the time, and he was dumb as a box of rocks, bless his heart. Mm-hmm. And I would always send it straight to voicemail, and he'd be like, Susanna, you pick up. Pick up, Susanna, on voicemail.
On a voicemail that's not going through the house.
Yes, this is not an answering machine. This is a voicemail. Pick up, Susanna. Pick up. I saved it forever just to make fun of it. Like for years. I think I still had it after Jason and I were married. And like I would just go back and listen to it if I needed a laugh. Pick up.
I dated a guy in my early 20s, and I was drawn by his Jaguar. Okay, people, I'm not that. I was just like, hey, if you've got a Jaguar, I'm interested to hear what you're selling. So we ended up going on a date. I liked him good enough. He was pretty cute. He ended up moving to Minnesota, though, and I didn't like him enough to keep that relationship going. There were a couple of things. One was is that his jeans were fairly tapered. And and I would have to say that that's not a fashion faux pas. That's an actual character flaw.
It is.
You know, let's get serious. Let's be serious. This isn't like, oh, hey, your jeans are out of. This was like, something's wrong in Denmark. Is that the cliche? So what if it's like
their cheese?
So. And then he would wear like those golf shirts, you know, what like men in their 50s wear when they're like going to a nice dinner on the beach. And it's like that like linen button up. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. Real flowy on the arms.
Yeah. So I already knew it wasn't going to work out just based off of the tapered leg alone. And what I did was since he moved, is I just, instead of breaking up with him, I just stopped answering his phone calls. Yeah. And then every once in a while, he'd catch me and I would talk to him. I was like, hey, I got to get off the phone really quick, okay? After about 2 months of not answering his phone call and being super short with him on the phone, he called me 2 months later and I answered. And he goes, hey, are you sitting down? And I was like, no, but just go ahead. And he was like, I don't think it's going to work between us.
That's what he said.
Yeah, that's what he said. I was like, oh, you think? Shoot.
You should have acted really devastated. Just like, like it was the end of the world.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, so it's just like male relationships, and it's hard. I guess the point where I'm at now and what I've just really learned is, and I'm happy to be at this place, and there'll probably be flubs, and I'm sure someone will hurt my feelings, but life is too short for crappy friends, and it's better to be alone and to work on yourself and your people. And can I just tell you the text message I got? I can hear Poppy crying. And here's the text messages I just got, everybody. I was just about to lay some knowledge on you, but let me just take a quick break. Are you done? Are you done yet? You're up there talking when I down here in hell.
Let's talk about that on next week's episode. They can't do shit for 20 minutes.
They can't do anything by themselves for 20 minutes.
They can't do shit. I know.
I suppose if you're going through a time where you've got some crappy friends or they're treating you badly, life's too short. Just get rid of them.
Get rid of them. You can, you know, they say you can count your best friends on one hand.
Yeah,
that's true.
If all you got is one, like Oprah's Gale.
That's right. That's all you need.
Consider yourself lucky.
Amen.
Work on your family, your craft, whatever it is. And if you are a crappy friend,
apologize. I did.
Apologize. Be real. Be honest. It helps so much. And then let some people go. You know, just let them go.
I ain't got time to be your friend.
I ain't got time to be your friend.
I love you, but I ain't got time.
I like you, but I just.
I really love you. You smell good and everything, but I just ain't got time to be your friend.
That's all you gotta say.
All you gotta say, and they will love you for it. They'll say, thanks for being honest with me and not wasting my time. I'll go to Panera Bread with someone else.
Yeah, exactly. I do want to tell the people who are listening, you are all of you are me and Susanna's friend. We can't have lunch with all of you, maybe all at once one day, but we can't do it. But you're all, and Susanna, you're my friend too. Thanks for being
my
friend.
You're my friend too. Yeah, and on that note, I'm very thankful for our friendship as well. Even though we don't, you know, we don't live next door, but I feel like you're one of my dearest friends, Anna, and I even acknowledged that in my book that you haven't read.
Oh my God!
I ain't got time to read your book.
Crappy friend alert.
Just tell me and I'll say, okay, I understand, because then I'll know you just don't have time to read it, or do you just not give a damn about reading the
book?
I'm
on 10 years taken and I'm halfway through and I'm loving it.
Halfway, been reading it for 4 weeks.
Only like two, I think. I was cozying up to it this weekend, actually.
That's all right. But look, even if you don't read it, you're still my friend. I understand. You're busy.
You're still my friend, too.
I'll send you a necklace.
I feel like we need the Golden Girls song to kind of send our way out, don't you?
I think you do. All right.
Well, we love all of you listening. If you're not following us already, Susanna, Woe Susanna on Facebook and Instagram. She's also on Instagram. And go get her books on Amazon, 10 Years Taken, Suspicion on Sugar Creek. And I am Anna Lynn Thomas. You can follow me at HaHa's for HooHa's at Anna Lynn Thomas. Until next time, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.